Welcome to our service for this, the third Sunday of Epiphany. Strange as it may seem, we are still actually in the season of Christmas, and in fact the Christmas tree and the banners are still up in Bredsall Church because we've not had an opportunity to take them down yet. But we've moved on, and today we'll be thinking about Jesus's ministry and his first miracle at Cana. But before that, let's join together in singing our first hymn of praise, "The God of Abraham Praise." We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. But our sins are there in front of us. And as we come before God, we confess our sins. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we're going to hear the first of our readings.
A canticle from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine out, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is rising upon you. Though night still covers the earth and darkness the peoples, above you the Holy One arises, and above you God's glory appears. The nations will come to your light, and kings to your dawning brightness. Your gates will lie open continually, shut neither by day nor by night. The sound of violence shall be heard no longer in your land, or ruin and devastation within your borders. You will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise. No more will the sun give you daylight, nor moonlight shall shine upon you, but the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your splendour, for you shall be called the city of God, the dwelling of the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen.
Although I describe that as reading, it is in fact a canticle, which is to be used during the season of Epiphany, and perhaps we ought to use that more often. Anyway, now we follow with our main reading for the day, our Gospel reading.
A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Before Geoffrey speaks to us, we're going to sing our second hymn. Now, this is probably going to be unfamiliar to most of you. I certainly didn't know it. So I hope you'll feel encouraged as I am from these words. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star.
Thank you.
Now let's hear some encouraging words from Geoffrey.
The story of Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine at a wedding reception. It happened at a little village near Nazareth, where Jesus had grown up. I've taken pilgrims to Cana many times, often renewing marriage vows and praying for the single, divorced and widowed, in one of the village's two churches. There are also two mosques. Cana today is a mixed Christian and Muslim village in that part of the Galilee captured by Israel in 1948. Villagers carry Israeli passports, can vote for Arab members of the Knesset, but don't have full citizen rights to things like education and refuse collection. When I was vicar of Spondon, the parish sponsored two students from Cana so they could study at the then brand new University of Derby. One of them was a son of the then mayor of Cana, Mr. Tahar, a Muslim, who came to visit his son and to thank me and my congregation for helping him raise the money for his son's fees at a time when the Israeli government had neither been paying Arab civil servants nor supporting the minority population's higher education. Mr. Tahar was on his way home from the United States, where he'd been investigating water purification and recycling equipment for his poor community. Water has been a major issue in Cana for two millennia. So, back to the gospel. I wonder whose wedding it was. St. John doesn't tell us. It may surprise you that anyone would want to ask Jesus, his mother Mary, and his motley collection of disciples to their wedding reception. It shows that he must have been much more fun to be with than most people outside our churches seem to think. Let me tell you another story about village wine. Once upon a time, in central France, the village doctor was coming to the end of 40 years of devoted service to his neighbours. As the day of his retirement approached, his patients decided that they should give him a present, a small token of their affection and thanks. After some discussion, it was agreed that on his last day at work, since most of them had little money to give, each adult should bring a bottle of homemade wine from his or her own cellar and pour it into a large container outside the parish church. This would then be presented to the old man. Friday arrived, and all day long villagers were seen pouring bottles into the special cask. In the evening, after the doctor had locked his surgery for the last time, the mayor and a couple of parish councillors carried the heavy container to his house. Surrounded by well-wishers who clapped the short speeches, the wine was presented. When everyone had gone home, the doctor went to his present, poured himself a glass, and settled down in a rocking chair in front of the fire. He was going to enjoy a little bit of his wine every evening for weeks. The first sip was a shock. It tasted like water. He sipped again. It was water. He went to the cask and drew off some more. It was all water. The doctor phoned the mayor. He was not amused. He was very embarrassed. There were hurried little meetings all round the village. Slowly, the truth came out. It usually does. One man admitted to the mayor what he'd done. I thought to myself, my little bottle of wine won't be missed. I've not got many left for my family. The rest of the villagers are bound to make sure the doctor gets the present he richly deserves. I'll pour in a little bottle of water. It'll hardly dilute all the strong homemade wine. It'll never be noticed. But everyone in the village had done the same. Why tell you this story? For three reasons. First, when something needs doing for someone, don't leave it to everybody else. They just might be leaving it to you. Second, ordinary people like you and me can turn wine into water. So I have no problem believing that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, could have done it the other way round. And third, I've told you the story without once mentioning God. Yes, when we leave God out of our lives, we tend to spoil things. We may not turn wine into water, but other things can go wrong. And when we let God into our lives, as that anonymous young couple 2,000 years ago invited Jesus to their wedding, then good things can and do happen.
And now let us come before God and declare our faith, reflecting that we are together the bride at that wedding feast. So we say together in faith, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain. For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now Jeff's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Merciful God, we give thanks to Jesus, whose first miracle was turning water into wine, renewing the joy of the guests and allowing the party to continue. We give thanks to Jesus, who enters into every place in our life, the joyful, the painful, the trivial, meets our need to be renewed, refreshed and sustained. May we always depend on God for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you call us to be stewards of our beautiful world. Help us to care for our environment in all we do in our daily lives. Let us be always mindful of waste, including our own use of the world's precious resources. Show us the richness of your creation, viewed from our windows, in our gardens, and as we take our exercise in our parks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for the nations of our world and their leaders. We continue to pray for peace in your world and especially for those involved in the process of reconciliation and bridge building. Cultures and nations, help us wherever and whenever we can in our everyday lives to be instruments of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, help us all to be worthy of your call. We pray for our families, our friends and our neighbours, and all who are part of our lives, many of whom we cannot see at present. Loving God, help us to bring healing by our phone calls and doorstep visits, that our care and our prayers may strengthen the spirits of those we love. We pray for all who are essential workers, that they are kept safe in this difficult time of lockdown, when so many are affected in body, mind and spirit. Please bring before you everyone in our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, be with us in our mourning as we pray for all who are coming to the end of their journey, and for all those who have died and now rejoice in the fullness of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we rejoice in your call to belong to the church and to believe in the gospel. Send us out in the coming week, ready to demonstrate our calling in all that we do and say. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Collect for the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. And who knows, we really do need that sustainment by God's power as we face yet more weeks of lockdown and being away from our churches, away from seeing people. But hopefully you'll be encouraged by the fact that from next week we're going to try and put some faces in front of the voices as well, as we're going to attempt to produce some video recordings of our services, which will be available on YouTube, and the links will be available and sent out during the week as soon as we've got it sorted. So that's something to look forward to. Just wish me, Chris, a lot of luck and patience as I try and piece together this for the first time, which promises to be fun. Anyway, as we come to the end of our service today, our final hymn again may not be so familiar, but again, it's a wonderful hymn that suggests that we have together a King in Christ, brothers and sisters all round us, and a message to proclaim to those around us. So shall God's will on earth be done, new tasks begun, and the whole church at last be one, is how this hymn ends. It's Christ is the King. O friends, rejoice. So, as we go out, or perhaps rather stay in, let's ask God to be with us. So may the Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.